The Translation of Enoch by Trevor Egaga. Benefits of the hearing ear. In this article, we want to examine the mysterious translation of Enoch so that he did not taste death. We will see how his testimony is applicable to us today. Topics like this, which touch on divinity and immortality, might baffle some readers out there because they are rarely spoken of in spheres of religion or human belief. With the many distractions in this world, men are simply not listening to the gentle voice of the Spirit instead of listening to that which is able to save the soul. Men are carried away by a realm of appearances and governed by uncountable words of human beliefs. Religion cannot give life. Neither can the scientific and intellectual mind give life. That which gives life is the Spirit. For this reason, we are admonished to learn to listen silently, because in hearing we are translated from the outer darkness which constitutes this entity called the world into the light, so that we can dwell in the light as He, the Son of God, is in the light. As we listen patiently, that blessed realm of God opens up and we pass over from death to life, from spiritual poverty of mortal man of the dust into the unsearchable riches of the Son of God from heaven. The irony of it all is that everything that pertains to divinity, true rich life, and our prosperity are freely available to all through the Spirit. But men, whose minds are obscured by the vainglories of this material world, are simply not able to see from afar off into the invisible and therefore do not value it. Men love the fruits of the Spirit of God, which is the tree of life, but don't like to be associated with the invisible tree itself. They rather love to associate themselves with the other visible tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represents mortal man and the wisdom of this world, while hating the fruits associated with it. The Spirit of God is always present, knocking on the door of the hearts of man so that it can enter and dine freely with man, and therefore give man that thing which catapults him back to the peak of glory from where he has descended, so that he can once more reign over every imaginary power of death. Talking about the benefits of listening, please read the following verses from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Oh, everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters, that he may, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Our ability to incline our ears to hear is what causes us to inherit the sure mercies of David, mentioned in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 3, which is prophetic reference to the blessings associated with Christ and His eternal kingdom. We also see this in Psalms chapter 89 from verse 20 to 37. The eternal promises of God to his Son, who reigns eternally on the throne, are immortality and absolute victory over his enemies. We know the ultimate enemy of Christ is summed up in two words, hell and death, because the last enemy to be defeated is death itself. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. These blessings also extends to his body, the church, because like he says, hell and death cannot prevail over his church. He is referring to the ecclesias, meaning the called out. These are the ones gathered out of the darkness and ignorance that constitute this entity called the world into one body known of God, which is Christ. We ought to get a clear picture of what the church of God is. It is the body of Christ, or we can call it the celestial gathering of the redeemed unto the Lord. It has nothing to do with buildings or organized religion. We might physically gather for a season in buildings, but bear in mind that the goal is to be consciously gathered with other perfected spirits into the church of the firstborn, which is upon Mount Zion, God's invisible realm. This is the place of unlimited blessing and life, the realm Christ has come to gather us into. To obtain this exalted favor, all we need to do is to open our ears and hear the truth as the Spirit reveals it to us. It is very much like receiving the bread of life from the Lord himself. Whosoever asks for bread, which is the word of the Spirit, from the Father with a sincere heart, will receive it freely, because the Father does not deny man anything that is his. His good will is to give his kingdom and all that he is and has to all men. When we were children, we spoke and acted as children. But the hour has come to let go of childishness, so that we can face the things that pertain to eternal life. We must let go of human foolishness and begin to listen attentively to words of wisdom as it flows from the depths of God. Our meditation and prayer is, quote, Father, turn my eyes away from vanity and quicken me in your ways. Cause your heart to be aligned with your ways and not the foolish ways of man. Let my eyes be always focused on your presence, because you are all that there is. Teach me wisdom so that I can walk in your ways and continually open my eyes to see marvelous secrets in your word. Amen. Quote. Let us be reminded that the Son of God has descended from heaven as the light of the world, and he has given us his Spirit to illuminate us with the light of life until all trace of darkness is no more. Christ has brought to our awareness true light and immortality, having ripped off the dense veil covering the nations of this world, and therefore ushered in a new world or realm where we consciously have our being in the living God. In this new and living way, the old life as men independent of God is brought to an end, because we are totally reconciled to God, so that we are one with him who lives forever. In him is light and there is no darkness at all. The essence of the gospel is to gather us in him, nothing else. If you hear any other thing, know for sure that that is not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the place, realm, or consciousness that Christ has prepared for we who incline our ears to listen and is presently guiding us into this place of abundant life where there is no trace of death. We can say that the word of God remains a mystery that is scarcely known by the men of this present age. Many listen to it, but with closed ears and eyes, signifying a veiled mind, so that they are not able to perceive the true message in it. It is very much like hearing a parable and not being able to solve the riddle behind it. The true word of God reveals the secret of the true and only life that there is, which is the life hidden in God. It reveals the way, or in other words, the sacred realm of God where darkness dissolves into nothing. This realm is a present reality, not for tomorrow in the sky after we die, like religion and the beliefs of men would like us to believe. To inherit this place of life and infinite blessings, all we need to do is open our ears diligently and listen. Then we will discover this present world or system we live in is nothing but a dead entity. Like we will soon discover, Enoch was able to cheat the jaws of death because he discovered the secret of life. He was able to listen and receive from the voice of the Spirit. That is why Jesus emphatically says, "Mind how you hear." Mark chapter 4, verse 24 says, "And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you mete, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more given. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has." If we humbly receive the incorruptible word from the Spirit, we will gain all that is God's and we know all things are his. On the other hand, if any man does not receive from the Spirit, he finishes up buried alongside the dead. In the process, loses everything that he thinks he has. He will not see the glorious realm of God reserved for those who love the name of the Lord. See, there is a place where darkness ceases to be. We may call it the kingdom of God or the paradise of God or heaven or Mount Zion. It is a realm that simply is because it has always been, even before form came into existence. In the hearts of man, there is a witness of this blessed incorruptible realm. So through mental intelligence and reasoning that form the bedrock of all religions, sects, movements, and human beliefs, he tries in vain to locate it. Brethren, let us not be fooled. Religion, Christian or non-Christian, cannot locate God's paradise. It is like the case of the blind leading the blind, and we know that they finish up in the pit. Flesh and blood, which represents man's intelligence and understanding, cannot see this realm of God, talk less of entering it. The realm of light and life, speaking by the unction of the Spirit, Job testifies of this blessed incorruptible realm, where man puts an end to darkness and discovers the invaluable treasure of the great price, buried under the thick covering of darkness. Job chapter 28 from verse 1, it says, "Surely there is a vein for silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He set an end to darkness and searched out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitants, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it has dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye has not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the first lion passed over it. He put forth his hand upon the rock, he overturned the mountains by the roots, he cut out rivers among the rocks, and his eyes seeth every precious thing. He binded the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. Job 28, which we just read, is a parable of a miner who digs deep underneath the earth into dark places where men are on wealth and discovers a reservoir of great treasures, of great riches. This is very much like the parable that Jesus gave of the man who discovered a great treasure trove hidden underneath the ground. The hidden treasure is a perfect pointer to the glory of God hidden man, otherwise known as the Christ in you for hope of glory. Along with Christ comes God's kingdom and the totality of what God is and has. The ignorance in the heart of mortal man is that which constitutes the shadow of darkness or the shadow of death, which veils the glory of God within him. This is the same darkness that covered the deep in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Man goes about with a sin and poverty consciousness and continues on sinking into misery and destruction due to ignorance that is in his heart. He's ignorant of where he comes from and where he's going. He simply has no idea of the substance he's made of. However, with gratitude today, we declare that light is shining and that sacred path to immortality and life is being made ever plain. And we are beginning to see that which the birds of prey and the fierce lion are unable to see. Talk less of walk on. The vulture and the lion represent the beastly, impure, carnal state of flesh and blood, mortal man, who, like we know, cannot enter God's kingdom. As long as a man retains his carnal state, he can see the land which abounds with dust of gold, sapphire stones, and bread, manna, or bedlam. This is a clear description of the Garden of Eden, God's paradise, which is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 to 12, a realm of perfection, pure light and pleasures, where nothing that defiles or makes a lie can ever enter. Dust of gold point to divinity and immortality. The transparent and precious sapphire stones represent purity and riches in glory, while the bread, manna, or bedlam represent the abundance of true spiritual life for those who find this place. This is the realm Enoch found, and it's equally the realm or rather consciousness that we are being gathered into, so that we can dwell in that inapproachable light where only the Son of God dwells. Praise God. No man can find that place of life because man's mind is blinded by the vanity of this material world. Only the redeemed through Christ Jesus, those who follow the leading of the Spirit through unto death of their own unprofitable earthly life in this present world, will enter into this place of life. Many years after Job left the scene, the Spirit confirms the existence of this blessed realm where death ceases. You see this in Isaiah chapter 35 from verse 8. and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein, no man shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go upon thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Those who find this place will no more taste death. They are those whom Jesus called the sons of the resurrection, those who are not of this present world, but of that to come. You see this in Mark chapter 9, verse 1. These ones are looked upon as fools by men of this present age, because they live by the pure celestial wisdom of Christ, which is foolishness to the religious and earthly minded man of the earth. These ones know the voice of their master, and they follow him in the ascension into the place of rest and eternal delight. These things we are hearing are the precious secrets of God hidden from the princes, men of this age, but freely given to those who have ears willing to hear wisdom as she calls out to them. For this reason, Jesus says, blessed are your ears because they hear, and blessed are your eyes because they see. Because the multitude, the wise, even the just also seek these things, but never find it. Being born into a material world and groomed by the spirit of this age, which in turn has molded us to live by the natural senses, men are always looking out for some form of physical evidence. For this reason, they are unable to comprehend the ever-present invisible realm where life is found. Unknowingly, man shuts the door of God's kingdom on his face with his beliefs and false hopes. He fails to pause and consider the emphatic words of Jesus, which says, the kingdom of God is within you, meaning the fullness of God is within you. And we know in God there is nothing like death. Obviously, these words of Jesus are contrary to the religious beliefs of men of this age, meaning their beliefs are like a wall of separation that prevents them from entering the kingdom of God. Today, we can boldly declare by the Spirit of God that there remains a people, the elect of God, who will not follow the broad path that leads to death, but like Enoch, these ones will find the narrow path that leads to life far above, from the torments of hell below. Proverbs 15, verse 24. Like we know, the Bible records few examples of men who did not taste death. These examples are purposely written to educate us on the path of life. An example of one who did not taste death is Elijah, who was transported up into heaven by a whirlwind and a host of horsemen and a chariot of fire. In Paul's letter to the Hebrew brethren, while making reference to the great men of faith, he talks about Enoch, who was also taken away by God so that he did not taste death, because he had a testimony that pleased God. Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he did not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Drawing close to God and receiving his spirit. In the 5th chapter of Genesis, we can clearly see that Enoch spent his last years working closely with God. Then he was no more. But we know God remains from generation to generation. Genesis chapter 5 verse 22 to 24 says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Only as we walk with God, as Enoch walked with God, can we become victorious over death. In the same way oil and water do not mix, and that life has nothing to do with death, we know God, we know that in God there is no darkness at all. We also know that our God is always willing to give all that is his to all who ask. For he freely gives his light to all. It is not in God's nature to withhold good from any man. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, the Father of lights. And anyone who receives from God is illuminated with the light of life, because that is all that God has. Seek and you will find. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open to you. The question is, what do we seek? Do we seek earthly riches, good health, good family, a good job, recognition from men? Or do we seek that eternal life that is nested in God? We have to begin to refocus on the hope of our calling, which is none other than to be found in Christ, who is eternally one with the living God. Or in a clearer tone, the only true God and eternal life. If we have him, we have all things. For this reason, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added to you. The perfect mind is set on the glory of Christ above, and this should be the mindset of all who seek God. Our inner groaning is to be aligned with this mindset. Any man who seeks the path that leads to life has to walk closely with God and let his spirit guide him. Because only the Spirit of God is capable of leading us out of the destructive realm of hell where men of this world languish. We are beginning to get a clear picture of the importance of the Spirit of God, which teaches us from the depths of God. Let us carefully browse through these verses from the Psalms, which describe the attitude of the true seeker of God. This describes the mindset of those who will find the place of true life. We start off from Psalm chapter 16, verse 7 to 11. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 73, from verse 23 to 28. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far away from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I will put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Above all, the true seeker who draws close to God has to have a single heart and mind that is set on God alone. Meaning God has to be his treasure both in heaven and on earth. This is the only way to enter into the place of life. This is what is known as the single eye of the kingdom. Those who will enter in do so as they wake into the reality that God is all in all. If a man sees otherwise, he is governed by the evil eye which beholds idols, vanity, and consequently corrupts him in the process. When the Apostle John says, "Little ones, stay away from idols," in 1 John chapter 5 verse 21, he's simply saying stay away from anything that does not reveal the true God and eternal life. The evil eye is the mindset of mortal man that perceives the creation from a carnal and natural perspective, not realizing that things in the natural realm are simply pointers to the true and invisible things of God. Paul knew this secret. That is why he says, "I know no man after the flesh, but rather after the Spirit." Meaning in all men he sees only the inner seed of God, which is Christ. This is the shortcut to obtaining true innocence and love, without which no man can stand before God's presence. With the single eye, there is only one life, one man, one body, one spirit, one family, one church, one gathering, one God. All other things are simply idols, which will disappear with time. One may ask then, what should I do with my natural family or my church members? The answer is simple. tell them the truth, so that they too might be saved and escape the destruction of hell beneath. Of course, to attain to this level of consciousness, we must be thoroughly groomed by God's Spirit. Because those who will enter into glory must be taught of God. Enoch's victory over death was possible because, having drawn close to God and confided in God, he received direct instruction from him. That instruction he received from God is instruction that eludes men of this age. It is this instruction by the Spirit of God that is able to lift a man up from the bowels of hell and set him back at the right hand of God, where he can once more see joy, peace, and true eternal pleasures. Death can't reign over the saints of God, because these ones who unite in one with God's Spirit receive instruction only from him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. In the transgression, we were reduced to mere mortal creatures of the dust, but by the Spirit, which is the breath from the depths of God, we are restored to our original celestial states in God. The Spirit is the only gift of God to man, without which no man can escape the power of sin and death, which reigns in this present world. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Let us gather ourselves in meditation and remind of ourselves of what Jesus and his apostles said about the Spirit of God. The Spirit testifies of Christ in us. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. And I will pray the Father that he shall send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be with you, and shall be in you. John chapter 15, verse 26 to 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. What Jesus is simply saying is that the Spirit of God within us testifies of Christ, who is the true creature of God from the beginning. When Jesus refers to himself saying, he shall testify of me, he was not referring to the exterior human identity he wore 2,000 years ago. Rather, he was referring to the inner invisible spiritual man that is hidden within every man. The inner man is Christ within, the glory and image of God. The illumination that comes from the Spirit of God awakens us and makes us consciously aware that we are Christ, the Son of the living God, who has been from the beginning. This is the sacred mystery we forgot when we descended into this material world and put on the form of mortal man. Christ is the Spirit, and he dwells eternally in the bosom of God the Father, being one with God. It means there is no such thing as death in him. The Spirit of God in us agrees with our own spirit that we are sons of God, free from the beggarly elements of this world and rightful heirs to God's eternal kingdom. This is the sacred realization that liberates us from the imaginary power of death, because the Son of God abides forever. John chapter 8, verse 35. The Spirit unveils the blessed realm of God for those who receive it. John chapter 16, from verse 13 to 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. The Spirit of God guides us into all truth, revealing to us things to come. Things to come in this context are things to come in the kingdom age of Christ. It opens our eyes to a whole new invisible realm where the Father's presence, also known as paradise, can be located. No man can locate that blessed realm where death and anguish of soul ceases to be, except those guided by the Spirit. The Spirit makes us consciously aware of this ever-present realm, which the natural eyes of mortal man are unable to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 13. Men of this age go on in an infinite loop as they look out for physical evidence of God's realm, not knowing that it is ever, ever present. The transformative work of the Spirit of God purifies us. Like we know, without true holiness and righteousness, no one can see nor approach the Father's presence. A guilty conscience and a corrupt nature cannot enter the kingdom of God. God does not drive any man away from his presence. It is the conscience of man that drives man out and barricades the way back to his presence. We also know that all those who stray away from his presence are cast into the lower realms of hell and destruction. Psalms 73, verse 27. We know all men are corrupt and have made their beds in hell. Psalm 53, verse 1. And so how do we get out and find our way back to the eternal presence where we can once more know joy and glory? Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh the abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It is only by God's Spirit that we can be purified and transformed from the deadened and antichrist nature we have inherited by our natural birth into this present world. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. If anyone chooses to carry on living as a mortal man according to the carnal spirit that governs this age, he can be rest assured that he will die in his sinful nature. If, however, we repent and allow the Spirit of God take over, he will be converted from the old sinful nature and put on the true nature of the righteous man of God, who by nature dwells in the eternal presence of the Father. The sinful, corrupt nature that man battles with is derived from the carnal spirit by which he lives. If, however, he substitutes it with the Spirit of God, he will be liberated from the sinful nature. The Spirit of God gives God's nature, while the Spirit of man molds that creature that cannot be subject to God. Our lifting up and gathering into God's glory. The same Spirit, the Spirit of God, which raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him to the right hand of God, is presently working in the saints to quicken them and to raise them above all the powers of death. Bear in mind that true death is a spiritual concept. It is not just shedding of the physical body. It is separation from God, the only source of all life. If we live as men governed by the natural beastly instincts and cannot sense the eternal loving essence of God, we are dead in our sins and trespasses and do suffer the consequences of death and hell. Fear, sense of lack, and the many torments men suffer are simply evidence of the fruit of death and hell. Anyone who denies that he has suffered these things is not being truthful. But if we acknowledge our transgression in Adam and receive the voice of truth, he is faithful and just to forgive us. The ultimate fruit of God's forgiveness is in to rediscover ourselves in one in Christ, exactly the way it was before we descended into this realm, the world, separated from God, so that we can once again reign and rest in glory, where he is, the Son of God, that is at the right hand of God, is where we, the redeemed of God, will be. John 17, verse 24. A realm where we know true innocence, abundance of life, and perfect stillness, with no fear whatsoever. Those who partake of true salvation are those who will found my Zion, the place of sapphires, dust of gold, and manna in abundance, and they stand as one with the living one. Like Enoch, they never taste death. Mark chapter 9. And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. These ones are those who recognize the truth and therefore hate their life in this world to unite in one in the only true and holy one of God. In recognizing the truth and living unto the truth, the Father honors and glorifies them with his own self, so that they become co-partakers of the divine glory and life of God. John chapter 12, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto his life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve him, him will my Father honor. Ironically, Enoch also prophesied about the appearing of this company of the redeemed who are gathered into the place of life to serve God. You see this in Jude chapter 1 from verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied this thing, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This company of thousands of saints, also known as the church, angels or sons of the resurrection, are the perfected ones who are continuously being gathered upon Mount Zion and do appear to the world in perfect glory of the Father. Jesus also averted the world on the appearing of this company of the redeemed who will convict the world of sin. Mark chapter 8 verse 38. Their glorious appearance executes judgment on the world by convicting it of sin and causes men to contemplate the invisible God manifested in the flesh. Enoch is in the company of thousands. So is Paul and all the saints in the spirit and in this present world. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the only life. No one can see or taste of that divine life of God except it passes through the Son, who is eternally one with the Father. This all points to our understanding of our true selves in Christ and the total loss of that human self we acquired in this world. In ignorance and error, man has been modeled to live after an outer exterior personality in relation to a naturally perceived world, and as long as he continues to live this way, he dies off as a man. If, however, he can perceive the Spirit beckoning to him and he repents by diligently and patiently conforming himself back to the Christ, the true creature of God, he will pass over from death to life and once more know true eternal pleasures. Job chapter 36, verse 8 to 12. And if they be bound in fetters and be holding in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline and commanded that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge. Enoch's consumption in God's glory. It is recorded that Enoch pleased God. For this reason, God drew him out of the depths of hell and death. One may ask, what is the thing that pleases God? The only thing that pleases God is our baptism into death of Jesus after the flesh and our conformation to Christ the Spirit, who is the Son of God. God demonstrates this at the baptism of Jesus when he turned out from heaven saying, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Mark chapter 1, verse 9-11. This voice came only after the baptism of Jesus, meaning that the life Jesus lived before then wasn't of no value. From the moment Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, it was a new personality that lived and walked through him. It was the Son of God who is from the beginning, no more the Hebrew man born in a manger some 30 years earlier on. Flesh and blood cannot confess like the mind of Christ that I always do the things that please him, because it simply cannot be aligned with the will of God. Like Paul writes in many of his letters, that flesh and the spirit cannot agree. This means we should stop trying to make the human life acceptable to God. Rather, let us reach out to the Spirit and by faith walk in the revelation light of the Spirit. To inherit eternal life, we must let go of our lives in this visible realm of appearances and take a hold of the true life of the Spirit. If we sow to the Spirit patiently, we will escape death. On the other hand, if anyone holds on to the lie, the flesh, or the human identity, he will end up buried with the multitudes who finish up in death. Like we know, God does not bring calamity upon anyone. Man brings it upon himself by not listening to sound instruction. Galatians chapter 6 from verse 7-8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The mystery of Enoch's translation is that he ceased to be an entity separate from God. In a positive sense, his human identity after the flesh was swallowed up by the consuming fire of God's love, so that God became all in all. This is actually a pointer to the end of our faith, when Christ has put everything in us under his feet and finally presented us to the Father so that God becomes all in all. In this realization, knowledge ceases. All nations become one in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24-28. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is exempted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The Spirit of Christ, like a burning flame within us, annihilates every principality and power within us that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, of Christ. These are the human beliefs that tie us to mortality and a life independent of God. These human beliefs are the things that have over time created the man of sin that is not subject to God. The inner working of God's Spirit brings an end to the old, corruptible, and lawless man of the earth and unveils the true celestial man of God, who has been from the beginning in God. In some of his many parables, Jesus refers to this as the burning of the shaft, so that the real inner substance, which is the seed of God, is unveiled and gathered back in the barn, the Godhead. Many people out there are still looking for Jesus of Nazareth after the flesh, the same way the prophets look for the body of Elijah after he was taken up in glory. And the way they probably look for the bodies of Enoch and Moses, but they were greatly mistaken. Jesus of Nazareth, as a man of the Hebrew tribe, is no more. But he exists in the glory of the Father, the way he was before he took up the form of mortal man. Now we understand why he says, "I go to the Father." John chapter 16, verse 16. "Oh Father, glorify me with yourself, with the glory I had with you before this world was." John chapter 17, verse 5. "Oh, I know where I came from and I know where I am going." John chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus' human identity was consumed in the glory of God. That is what God intended to demonstrate when Jesus was lifted up into the cloud at the end of his ministry. This is the same path for those who can hear the voice of the Spirit calling them to obedience in Christ. He, the Spirit, must increase, and we, the flesh, must decrease. This is the only way to life. Brethren, the hour is now, not tomorrow, when some outward sign is fulfilled. We should by faith begin an ascent into the glory of the Father, exactly like Jesus did. This means a total submission to the Spirit and conversion to become true witnesses, so that the Father becomes all in all in our individual lives. Enoch cheated death. How much more we who walk in a new dispensation of unlimited grace in Christ Jesus. With God, all things are possible, and we have access to his eternal presence through the blood of the Lamb, so that all things are possible to we who believe the gospel. Hearing and believing the gospel of God, or good news, revealing that we are Christ, the glory and image of the living God, is our passport to eternal life. So let there be bold resolve to obtain this excellent knowledge. Never ever being discouraged in moments of temptation and stumbling, bearing in mind that we have a high priest who understands our individual infirmities, having himself experienced the many weaknesses and temptations of the flesh. Do not let these words trouble you. We are simply hearing things hidden from us in our descent into outer darkness that constitutes this world that we live in. We must know these things so that we can enter back into the light to enjoy the fullness of life once more with gratitude. We thank God for the revelation of the truth about our inheritance in Him. Amen. Trevor Egaga.